Now, from Radio Today Entertainment.
Sometimes we have to tell what's gone on in our lives so that we can say what we try to say, you know? A lot of these songs have to do with trying to get back to reality, you know? Being able to relate to each other, people, and go on with life. We've gone through some things, quite a few changes in our lives. Mine in particular was a lot of drug and alcohol abuse and all the things that go along with it. The reason we have a lifetime to work this stuff out is because that's what it takes, you know?
Rockstars proudly presents Stevie Ray Vaughan.
These guys, it's more like family than it is working together. And that's really the coolest part of this band, I think. We really enjoy playing together and we make good music. A lot of my tendency is not to slow down. And that's something that I'm trying to learn, and I probably will. Hopefully I'll learn it one of these days, but it means a lot more to play one note that really says something than it does to play a million notes that don't ever get there.
It's 2 hours with Stevie Ray Vaughan, hosted by John Sebastian from the Lovin' Spoonful on Rockstars.
Well, I'm love-struck, baby, I must confess. Life without you, darling, is a sign.
From the album Texas Flood, that's Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble with Love-Struck Baby. Hi, I'm Ben Manila, and welcome to the Stevie Ray Vaughan edition of Rockstars. Now here's your host, the former leader of the Lovin' Spoonful, singer-songwriter John Sebastian.
At a time when guitar is the most popular instrument on the horizon, and lead guitarists flower like weeds every year, it is a singular pleasure to be able to introduce a guitarist with this degree of authenticity and dedication. It's a pleasure to welcome you, Stevie Ray Vaughan, to Rockstars.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I first became aware of you in about, I guess, 1983 when I heard Let's Dance.
Yeah?
And I said, geez, they got Albert King or something to play with David Bowie.
That was kind of my intention. I was looking to see where Albert King licks would fit. They'd seem to fit everywhere I'd tried them before, and it just seemed like it was the perfect thing, you know?
It really was quite a piece of work.
Well, it was fun to do, and I got to be around Nile Rodgers and David and everybody in the studio for about 3 days from that session there. It was really a lot of fun. It was no hassles at all. It was just a real big experience for me, you know.
What was your experience in the studio up until then? I mean, had you been, obviously you played well already. Had you been working as an accompanist or with Double Trouble already or with?
Yeah, I was already with Double Trouble. I had gone through a number of bands in the Dallas or Texas area and had only made a single with one band and, something when I was in high school, you know, one cut or something on a school record. But that was my studio experience up until then.
I always thought, man, what a cool move not to go with Bowie.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I wanted to play with my band, and that was really what that amounted to. I wanted to play with my band. And I could see that I was going to not be able to do that. Originally, we were going to be on the tour. That didn't work out. I wanted to be with my band, and I did.
Nothing personal. No. I wanted to talk a little bit about the new Instep album. First of all, sort of a third cousin of Whole Lot of Shaking going on, this tune, House. This House is Rocking.
Yeah. That was written, actually, mainly, that was one of the songs that Doyle Bramhall had pretty much started, and it just needed to be finished up. When we went into this project to write together, I had some songs that had been started, but I couldn't quite finish by myself, and he had the same. And I love the way Doyle writes. He writes real simply, and to the point, sometimes it's got to say something, really get something out. Sometimes it's just for fun, and that was one of the fun ones, you know.
It has that falling off a log quality that's in a lot of good blues. It doesn't sound like it much work went into it, but it comes off sounding right.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The main work probably was the guitar tech, because we kept changing necks on the guitar so I could get a crossbreed between a Stratocaster and a Telecaster.
On that particular tune?
Yeah. Actually, this was the body of a Hendrix prototype that had Tele pickups in a Strat body, and we had taken the Tele neck off of another guitar and stuck it on. It wasn't the same size neck as needed to be for the guitar, but we made it work anyway.
So you're sort of a part-time guitar tech as well here.
A guitar surgeon or something, I don't know. Malpractice.
On Rockstars, the lead-off track from the new Stevie Ray Vaughan album, In Step, that's The House Is Rockin'. Before that, it was Stevie Ray playing lead guitar with David Bowie on Modern Love. That's off Let's Dance, a record produced by Nile Rodgers. And Nile will be producing the next Stevie Ray Vaughan project, a collaboration with his brother Jimmy, lead guitarist of the Fabulous Thunderbirds. And we'll hear about Stevie's relationship with his older brother and why they spelled their name V-A-U-G-H-A-N when Rockstars continues. Welcome back to the Stevie Ray Vaughan edition of Rock Stars.
So you kind of started playing as a result of, I guess, partially inspired by your brother Jim, right?
Oh, yeah.
And for those who don't know, that we're talking about Jim Vaughan, Jimmy Vaughan of the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Who I guess you started off playing bass for.
Yeah, actually, I had a guitar. I was given a guitar for my birthday. It was a genuine Masonite guitar, and it wouldn't tune. So we took three of the strings off and lowered them down. That's how I started, and then I ended up getting. As Jimmy got, he progressed really fast, and as he got his next guitars, I would get the ones that he had left behind.
Yeah. Well, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and I think it started as a result of listening to a Voodoo Child of yours. And he was saying, boy, you know, isn't this exciting how this guy is so influenced by Jimi Hendrix? And I was saying, well, I don't know if this guy is all that influenced by Jimi Hendrix or whether he and Jimi Hendrix just had the same heroes.
It's a lot of both.
Let's name a few of these people just because it's interesting.
Yeah, Albert Collins, Albert King, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Hubert Sumlin, Wolf, right. Muddy Waters, Guitar Slim, Johnny Copeland later on, I guess. Of course, Hendrix, Clapton, Beck.
Right.
The Beatles, you know, Little Richard. Everybody that was pulling from rhythm and blues, rock and roll, old style rock and roll, rockabilly, and then a lot of my brother, because not only did he familiarize me with all this music and all these people that play this music as well, but he was able to emulate a lot of their styles, but then he was already developing his own. I still never heard anybody play quite like Jimmy. So as a result, I have to say Jimmy Vaughan is probably my biggest influence.
You and your brother recently did a project with Dylan, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was it was fun.
Tell me about it. What was it? Sometimes, you know, these things come through on rock and roll headlines, and you don't know whether it was any fun or not.
Yeah, it was fun. It was, we had thought we were going to do one song, and it turned into three or four, and we'll see what happens with them. It was a completely different style of recording than I've ever been involved with, where you play the song for about a half an hour. And then go from there. It was a lot of fun. I'd met Bob Dylan a few times in the past under varying circumstances. Sometimes other people trying to push us together, and we were kind of looking at each other going, what is all this about?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it was in a club setting or something, you know, where he was just trying to be listening to the band. Everybody else was around him trying to protect him, and he just wanted to be a person. So he'd remembered us meeting as well. And it was a lot of fun. It was a good thing for my brother and I to be able to do, because we had not gone in the studio together for quite a while. And he gave us a chance to go and just see what happened creatively with someone. And we both, of course, wanted to play on a record with Bob Dylan. We've always, everybody does, I imagine.
I wanted to ask you about the name Vaughn, because the A in the name Vaughn is something unusual. I've never seen it spelled that way.
Well, it's an English spelling, but it's somewhere along the line, someone with the A in their name, the last A, had some kind of a criminal deal going on, so they changed the spelling of it to try to hide that. And most of the family behind him agreed. A few of us went, what the heck, you know? At least that's how the story goes.
I see.
You're listening to Rock Stars. That's Change It, featuring both Stevie Ray Vaughan and his brother Jimmy Vaughan. That's from the Double Trouble album Live Alive. In front of that, Tough Enough from Jimmy's band The Fabulous Thunderbirds. And the set started with Double Trouble and Look at Little Sister. Up next, why Stevie Ray Vaughan decided to record the Jimi Hendrix song Voodoo Child, when Rock Stars with your host John Sebastian returns. Welcome back to the Stevie Ray Vaughan edition of Rock Stars.
Let's talk a little bit about Double Trouble. I know that I'd heard Tommy Shannon's name before, and somebody told me he's played with Johnny Winter.
Yeah, he was with Johnny on the first two or three, I believe, albums. In fact, he had met Johnny at a place called The Fog here in Dallas and gone with him to play. And the night we met, he had just left Johnny, and we met at The Fog. And I was about 14 playing. Okay. It was an after-hours place. And Tommy was the only one in the band that would talk to me. Not too long after, like I say, not too long after that, we were ended up in the same band and have pretty much been together ever since. There's been a few periods of time when he was with another band or off doing something else. But it's as a rule, he's been the bass player in the bands that I've been in since. I really admire the man.
Is he a contemporary of Johnny's, or is he your age?
He's a little older than I am, not much. He's just a real neat cat.
And Chris Layton has been with you for a while now as well.
Yeah, he had come around when I was in a band called the Cobras in the 70s. We were playing a club gig, and our drummer he was trying to do a construction working gig and play in a band at the same time, and he had fallen asleep. And with his phone off the hook, our sax player said, "Hey, don't worry about it. My roommate's a drummer." And Chris got up there, and it wasn't long after that that we were playing together, and we've been together ever since as well. These guys, it's more like family than it is working together, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really the coolest part of this band, I think. We really enjoy playing together, and we make good music. But the camaraderie that's in there is really what keeps us together, I think.
Well, now, could you tell us a little bit about what Voodoo Child means to you?
It's
Let's start with Jimi Hendrix playing Voodoo Child.
To me, it's like Hendrix doing his own Hoochie Coochie Man. I just really liked how it always sounded. And songs that I really like how they sound, I found that I usually have a little easier time playing because I've really listened to them. We tried the song and it felt real good, so we just kept doing it.
Yeah.
That's how we pick songs in this band. If we like the song, we try it, and if it still sounds good after we've played it, you know how that goes. Then we keep doing it. And if somewhere along the line the song doesn't seem to sound like it has the same feeling or emotion, then we try to either work on it or drop it for a while to maybe pick it up later. But it's all really It has nothing to do with a formula with us. It's got to do with whether we like it or not.
And hopefully, especially with a good form like blues or any form, it will improve and something will change about it.
Uh-huh. And every time we play it.
That's the best of all possible worlds.
Now, there are times when I need to go and take a refresher course on how the song goes, or where it comes from, I should say. Most of the time, if I try to play the song the same way twice, the first time will feel good, and the second time feels like I'm copying myself. The third time, it feels more so. So I might as well learn how the song goes that time. Because there's a lot to the newness and being right there, right now. What's going on, you know? Hendrix, of course, is a big influence on me, musically and of my life. Still is. Always probably will be.
You're listening to Rock Stars, Stevie Ray Vaughan in conversation with John Sebastian. From the Live Alive CD, we heard Voodoo Child. Before that, an instrumental called Rude Mood, also Pride and Joy, both off the album Texas Flood. Coming up in Hour 2, Stevie Ray Vaughan's Struggle with Addiction, when Rock Stars returns.
My favorite way to do things is live.
Welcome back to the Stevie Ray Vaughan edition of Rock Stars.
See, there's nights when I feel like I play better, and there's nights that I feel like I, for lack of a better way to say it, I feel like the whitest guy that walks.
Now, as I understand it, you spent the summer touring with Jeff Beck.
Uh-huh.
Two separate bands. Jeff Beck with Terry Bozzio and...
Tony Hymas. Yeah.
And you guys would alternate every night and...
Uh-huh.
And how was that?
It was a lot of fun. It was there were a lot of shows, and since a few years ago, we've gotten used to, or at least tried to take the pace of our touring and cut it back some, because that was one of the reasons that I got as far out as I did with the fake energy. On this tour, it was kind of rough for me because it was six. It was like rough, usually five, at least five, usually six gigs a week, and a lot of travel. And I don't know whether the pressure was self-induced or that pressure is really there when you do a tour of that size. But I felt a lot of it. It was kind of a grueling thing, but overall, I had a lot of fun, and One of the most fun things was that I got to see Jeff Beck every night. You know? Every night.
I heard you were seriously listening every night, too.
Sure. And I, by the way, I never have figured it out. He would come out and it might be the same songs, but that was about it. He's always been an innovator and will continue to be, let me tell you. There was something new and very unexpected, often every night. It is a lot of fun to play in larger places. I still don't necessarily have a favorite, other than I know that when I play clubs, I play differently. I don't try to. However, I do like what comes out in clubs. For some reason, it seems like there's more time to feel it before I play it.
You're listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan in conversation with John Sebastian from The Lovin' Spoonful here on Rock Stars. We heard two from the Live Alive collection, Superstition, and before that, Willie the Wimp. Still to come, the tightrope ride of substance abuse and how Stevie Ray Vaughan is fighting it, next on Rock Stars. And now, more of the Stevie Ray Vaughan edition of Rock Stars.
So, I'm interested in this guy, Doyle Bramhall. He wrote several of these tunes that seem to be well, they're sort of some of the central pivotal tunes on this record that are, in many cases, it sounds fairly autobiographical.
Yeah, we had to, sometimes we have to tell what's gone on in our lives so that we can say what we try to say, you know?
Yeah, and get back to making jokes playing guitar.
Yeah. Both of us had gone through some things, quite a few changes in our lives, and mine in particular was a lot of drug and alcohol abuse and all the things that go along with it. And these are, a lot of these songs have to do with trying to get back to reality, you know, being able to relate to each other, people, and go on with life.
Yeah. Well, I'm no stranger to this. In this, there's this tune you and Bramhall wrote called "Tightrope" that's third on this record, which is like a mini Cure all in itself. It starts you off with the problems. You know, when you're doing drugs, you're standing still, and it seems like everything's going by you.
Yeah.
Then. The second verse kind of moves into not being able to see your own friends reaching out to help you.
Yeah.
And it sounds like by the third verse, you were feeling like you were looking at a friend again when you looked in the mirror.
Yeah, you got to get to the solution, you know. You got to go through the problem. You got to see what's going on, feel what's going on, give it up and go.
And this I take it from the sound of your voice, remains a constant in your life.
Oh, yeah. It's a day-by-day thing. And it's finally starting, at least I'm beginning to learn that the reason we have a lifetime to work this stuff out is because that's what it takes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's okay, too.
That's a song called "Tightrope." Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble on Rock Stars. We also heard Crossfire. Both songs are from the newest Double Trouble album, In Step. Stevie Ray goes up against the wall of denial when we return to Rock Stars. And we're back with more of Stevie Ray Vaughan on Rock Stars.
I can't read or write music, and the progressions just are, sometimes it's just I feel certain ways, so I go and pick my guitar up and I have no idea how to play those chords, so I just start sticking my hands on the neck until I find what makes the sound that I feel like.
Wall of Denial is another tune that, as soon as I saw the phrase, I said, boy, this is somebody who has been through rehab, because one of the first things you learn is about your own denial.
Oh, yeah. I'm still learning about it. It runs deep. Actually, there'd been a few things that had come to mind or come, however solutions come, you know, I can't take credit for them. They come to mind by whatever means it is, and they'd been written down on this piece of paper or that piece of paper, you know. And I had this progression going on in my head and started playing it. Was actually talking on the phone to my manager, saying that I thought Doyle and I were probably going to work on this progression next, and started mouthing the bubble, 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 bubble. And about that time, Doyle starts singing Wall of Denial.
Wow.
Just the first line, and I said, I'll talk to you later, Alex, and hung up the phone. And went over there, and we realized that we had, that here it comes, whether we like it or not. Here comes the song, you know. And when it came time for the next, you know, for the main body of the verses, we pulled out these different pieces of paper that we both had, and there it was. All we had to do was fit the pieces of the puzzle together. And it made us feel really good. I just feel really good. And since then, learning more and more about what all that song can mean.
On Rock Stars, that's Wall of Denial from Stevie Ray Vaughan's new album, In Step. And up top, the instrumental Testify off the 1983 Texas Flood record. Still to come, how not playing sometimes says more than playing, when singer-guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughan returns on Rock Stars. And now the conclusion of the Stevie Ray Vaughan edition of Rock Stars.
Some of Willie Dixon's work appears on this record, a tune called Let Me Love You.
See, I've always known that song myself. I've always known that as a Buddy Guy song. When we went to clear the songs, that's when we were told that it wasn't a Buddy, but it was actually a copyrighted anyway under Willie Dixon.
Well, now, how did you and your brother get to hear some of these guys? A lot of people don't know that Texas is quite the hot spot that it is for blues.
There's always been a scene, so to speak, or at least a big blues audience, and a whole lot of blues musicians from Texas. As well, like I said earlier, Jimmy was bringing home a lot of records by a lot of these people. How he knew to tap into this, I don't really know. Because he was, when it first started, I guess he was probably 13 or 14 years old and was already getting hip to these people.
Wow.
I guess my first venture into that was Lonnie Mack.
Uh-huh.
I went and found me a Lonnie Mack, and not long after that, Albert King. And I was hooked.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about how important... every guitarist should be asked this question: how important was the Albert King "Born Under a Bad Sign" album?
I wouldn't have known what to do without it. Not only did I see Albert King on TV doing this stuff, and realize if given the chance, this music goes over big. You know, and I'll never forget that one, because when I got signed, I was told that nobody wanted to hear this stuff. You know. And I said, okay, let's try it.
Because it was a time when it's not that there wasn't interest in a lot of big, loud, flashy lead guitar. It just was a new kind of pop-style single-string lead. It involved not playing the whole instrument.
Yeah. And it's going to be always important to me trying to play that style, because a lot of my tendency is not to slow down, and that's something that I'm trying to learn, and I probably will. Hopefully I'll learn it one of these days, but it means a lot more to play one note that really says something than it does to play a million notes that don't ever get there.
On several of your albums, you have a characteristic hat that I see you wearing.
Yeah.
Now, and I also, having traveled a little bit through Texas, I know that different folds on hats have different significances. Sometimes they tell you more about either what the guy does or what part of Texas he's from. And I was wondering whether there's any particular significance or name to that type of fold on your hat.
The crown is called a high roller crown, and it's a flat brim. It's just what I thought a hat ought to look like if I wore one. However, actually, when I first got it, it reminded me, for some reason, it reminded me of Hendrix's hat, that was the first reasoning behind me wearing a hat. Plus, I'm getting a little thin up there, so I kind of depend on those things these days.
So now, did you ever get a chance to actually meet Jimi Hendrix?
Never did. Lots of dreams. But for a period of time, I would have dreams that we would be showing each other stuff. Sometimes unloading semis in a driveway in a suburban... housing district, you know. Sometimes in some kind of wild-looking hall. But... one morning, I remember jumping up and trying to go play what we were playing in there, and I realized that we were playing on the bottom of the strings, between the strings and the neck, and I went, no, this couldn't be right. This isn't it.
This dream is getting too good.
Yeah.
Well, I sure appreciate you taking a little time here and talking to us. And
it's a pleasure, man.
Thanks an awful lot for the good music. And keep that hat pulled down and know that you're one of the people we look to for the future of this music we call the blues, but which is obviously fast growing into something bigger.
Well, I'll keep trying. I can't quit now.
All right.
All right, man.
Your host, John Sebastian, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. Last track we heard was Travis Walk from the Instep album. It's Stevie Ray Vaughan on Rock Stars.
See, there's nights when I feel like I play better, and there's nights that I feel like I, for lack of a better way to say it, I feel like the whitest guy that walks.
It's Stevie Ray Vaughan with John Sebastian from The Lovin' Spoonful.
Hendrix, of course, is a big influence on me, musically and of my life.
Hi, this is John Sebastian. Join me with Stevie Ray Vaughan on Rock Stars.
Stevie Ray Vaughan in double trouble. Stevie Ray Vaughan. People talking, but they just don't know what's in my heart and why I love you so.
A lot of my tendency is not to slow down, and that's something that I'm trying to learn, and I probably will. Hopefully I'll learn it one of these days, but it means a lot more to play one note that really says something than it does to play a million notes that don't ever get there. Most of the time, if I try to play the song the same way twice, the first time will feel good, and the second time feels like I'm copying myself. The third time, it feels more so. So I might as well learn how the song goes that time, because there's a lot to the newness and being right there right now. I can't read or write music, and the progressions just are. Sometimes it's just I feel certain ways, so I go and pick my guitar up, and I have no idea how to play those chords, so I just start sticking my hands on the neck until I find what makes the sound that I feel like.